May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this morning hour and always. Let us quieten the thoughts of our minds and join our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we wish to thank you for this new day of grace that you have given unto us. This day when we have been able to be sheltered through the night, protected, and today we have been able to be fed and clothed with those temporal needs of this life. Dear Father, we thank you for all of the temporal blessings which you have so richly bestowed unto each one of us. Dear Father, this morning hour, we thank you for that greatest gift that one can own in this life, and that is the gift of living faith, to own personally through faith that grace gift to be your child, to own the name of a child of God. Dear Father, we are not worthy, and yet today we have come to hear your word, that we would be strengthened in our walk of faith, that we would be fed those morsels of grace that you see good for this moment in time. Dear Father, we ask that you would give words to speak unto your servant, that you would give ears to hear and hearts to believe that message of hope and life. Dear Father, we also wish to remember those who of your children who are unable to gather together with us this morning, that wherever they might be in this life, if they are lonely, if they are experiencing trials of life, illness, whatever the case might be, dear Father, comfort each one of your children in their lonely place of watching. Help them to know of your presence and your goodness. Dear Father, we also wish to remember those many loved ones that we travel with here in this life, those who are outside of your kingdom, those who are yet traveling in the darkness of unbelief in the broad way of the world. Dear Father, you who are the discerner of each heart, cause each one in darkness to be awakened to their sinfulness, that they might seek a loving God, that they could also be in the hearing of thy word, and that they would also be able to believe together with us their sins forgiven in the name and precious blood of your Son. And we pray this morning that perfect prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Before reading the text this morning, I would wish to bring greetings of love and God's peace from the children of God in our home congregation there in Monticello. Nearly 3 years ago, we began our discussions there that would God wish that we would be able to meet there and form a congregation. And God has blessed us there, and He has preserved His congregation there. And I wish to bring greetings from them. Last evening, I was together with Barb able to be in Rockford, where they have their service event this weekend, their youth days. And I was able to visit with Art Haryu, who has his roots here in Kokato, who remembers you, and asks that I would bring greetings from him to you. He is serving there in Rockford this weekend from his home in Colorado. Shall read the Word of God, which is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, the 9th through the 14th verse, with that prayer of faith that God, who is the giver of all good gifts, would open His Word unto us, and we hear these words read in Jesus' name. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. The texts that have been set aside for this Sunday in the church calendar speak about examining one's own self. And in this text that we have read, this gospel text that we have read for our service, it speaks clearly of two individuals. And these two individuals would have been known in the society of which they lived, and the things of their life would have been known by others. And then Jesus here speaks this parable, and he speaks about the prayers of these two individuals. And Jesus wishes in this parable to teach of the difference of the heart of each one. And in the beginning of our text, it says of the setting of who Jesus was speaking to. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. The Pharisees were known of a people of the day that they lived, of those who were students, we could say, of the Scriptures. Perhaps they were wise in the law, in God's Word, of the Old Testament writings. They wished to live godly lives. I suppose many of the Pharisees of the day were also blessed in this life temporally. And I suppose they would have worn fine clothing, and in society they would have wished to be seen by others as doing good. Perhaps also in the preparation of the Sabbath, they would have been seen preparing, maybe in times of fasting and in prayer by others. And they would have been seen walking to the synagogues where they would worship. The publicans of the day were the Jews that made agreements with the Roman rulers, those who ruled in society. Perhaps today we could refer to them as politicians, who served in a temporal position in temporal life, keeping law and order and so on. And these publicans would have made agreements with the Roman rulers, and they were assigned to collect taxes from the people who rented the land, or when they received a great harvest, they would give a portion of that harvest to the ruling government, the Romans. And these publicans would also wish to make a living at the expense of the people who did the work. So when they would collect taxes from the people that they would turn over to the rulers of the day, they would also wish to extract what they could from the people for themselves. And I suppose if they saw one who had been greatly blessed in temporal life, or who had had a good harvest, that they would have wish from them to extort or even receive a greater portion than what was due so that they could line their own pockets. And I suppose some of these publicans became very well off, and they were seen by people in society to be people to be feared, and some, I suppose, to be despised. So these are the two different types of people that Jesus wished to teach the lesson through a story. We also understand in this life that God, when He has given life, He has given within the mind of man the knowledge of His creation. And many of us in this life, both those who are endeavoring as children of God and those who are traveling outside of God's kingdom, He has ingrained in us the knowledge of God's presence. And we can see all around us the evidence of God's work in creation. And those of this world who are not traveling with us in living faith, there are many people that God has blessed, and there are many people who have experienced and have wished to even live a God-fearing life. And many of those who are traveling in unbelief, who read God's Word, and they wish to worship God on the Sabbath day. When we look around at people, even within God's congregation, we see people from many walks of life, in a temporal sense. And we see individuals who have been blessed, even in a spiritual sense, in many different ways. I know for a young person, when you are growing up, you often pray to God that He would give you at least one good friend. And I suppose even in a time of youth, we often forget to use the gift of prayer and turn to the Heavenly Father with our requests. Or I suppose many of us, even those of us that are a little bit older than the youth, we have little faith, and when we pray for something that God would bless us with, and we do not receive that which we have asked for, then we neglect the gift of prayer. I want to share just a little bit of the discussion last evening when our brother presented the topic of sorrow at the discussion evening there in Rockford. And I wondered, what words would God give the brother in that topic of sorrow? Each one of us, both believers and unbelievers in our lives, experience times of sorrow. And I was thinking it's a youth discussion, and yet God in His goodness gave to each one of us, young and old, blessings there in our attendance. But when we think of sorrow, sometimes sorrow comes into our lives through sin that wounds the conscience. And we become burdened. And we heard one who was free to share a life experience, as the brother had instructed and taught in the introduction, how when we are burdened by sin and we become sorrowful, we begin to endeavor by ourselves. Or the enemy tells us that don't go to the hearing of God's word. And even in one speech, we heard how God's word does not feel good when we are burdened by sin. And one sister shared of her personal experience how it seemed for her that as she sorrowed over that sin and that burden, how she began to travel further and further into a dark pit. And I suppose that place of darkness that she traveled was not any different than David traveled when he felt the burden of sin, when he said that it was ever before him. The exhortations that we heard last evening to a child who is endeavoring in faith, who is burdened by sin, who is sorrowful, is that go to be with the believers. Dear brothers and sisters, I cannot look at you this morning and know what is in your heart. And you cannot look at me and know what is in my heart. And God has saw that it is good for you and for me to gather together in fellowship of His children in the hearing of His word this morning. And I suppose that I have come with a temptation that is different than yours when it has been my turn to serve. And the enemy has said, and he has confused my thoughts, and he has said that what would you speak? And I have felt stress and restlessness and asked, can I believe those sins and doubts forgiven? And you who have come, you have come from many cares of this life. And I especially want to comfort you young people that if you have come, or all in each one of you, if you have come with some burden on your heart, and it has been difficult to come to the services of God's children and the hearing of His word this morning, believe even now, all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. For by grace are ye saved by faith, or through faith, that it is not of yourselves, that it is by believing that your sins are truly forgiven. And when that matter that is troubling you has been close, you are yet traveling as God's child, and God wants to lovingly reach out to you personally this morning and teach you that he knows you by name, and he loves you, and he does not want you to travel with that burden upon your heart. And he has given you escorts, as there were examples last evening of those who spoke of how God has sent escorts, where they have been able to speak of the way and the journey, and the weak, tempted child of God has been able to be refreshed and encouraged that even those private matters can be believed, forgiven. And yet in life there are also sorrows that come that we have not asked for, and we have not known the reason that God has allowed them to come into our lives. And those trials of this life are not due to sin. And they have not come into our life as punishment for our sinfulness and our slowness to believe. Or neither has God given them because of our thoughts that we have had towards others that have been sinful in nature. And perhaps God could open through His Word, even through this example of these two in our text, of where does one find peace? The one who in his life was seen by others to be holy and to be good, the man also saw goodness in himself and he trusted in his own goodness. It says that he was a Pharisee and he stood and he prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. He saw the evil that other people have done. He saw the sinful ways of others. I'm sure he heard much that was spoken in society, and even because he was a good man, he did not wish to speak evil of others. And it says that he shared of all of his goods. He gave of those temporal blessings that he had, he gave of that temporal blessing to the church, that the children in this life would be cared for of their needs. And it says that he saw that he was not an extortioner as other people were. Remember, I already spoke of the publican. I am sure this Pharisee looked at the publican as others did and thought that they were extortioners, and some of them certainly were. He says that I am not unjust. So this man thought that all things that he did in his life, he did fairly, and he administered fairly to others. He had not fallen into grievous sins that he was able to see, and he or even was as this publican. He says, I fast twice in the week. Give up those things of this life to consider the goodness of God. I give tithes of all that I possess, as we have already spoken. And yet this man did not have a believing heart. If one would gain the whole world but lose his faith, to be drowned in that everlasting sea of damnation, what have they gained? For a moment, a time of pleasure and comfort in this life which is short. And to lose God's grace eternally, what has one gained? To see one's own goodness and to serve those neighbors and to serve society with the temporal blessings or even the temporal blessings of knowledge and wisdom, but not own living faith, what has one gained? And now we turn to this one who here is referred to as a publican. In one of Luther's sermons, it's recorded of what he has taught about this publican. And it clarifies for me some question that I have had of this text. When here in the last verse of this text it says that, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." That what does this mean? Did he go down justified? Or as I understand it says, "and finish more justified by his prayer." And we'll consider his prayer here shortly. But Luther wanted to teach, and he spoke in his sermon on this text, that this was a believing man. He had lived a life of a publican. He had heard the gospel preached, and he believed that gospel, and he walked in newness of life. And why did Luther say this? He said because of the confession of this man's heart. Let's hear the prayer of this one. It says that he stood afar off. He did not need to be seen by other people. That was not the reward that he was seeking for, to be seen by other people as a holy man who was praying. Jesus says that he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Have you, dear brother and sister, in a time of fear and trembling, when the enemy has come to tempt you and say that the others will make it, but surely you will not make it to the destination, give up your faith and enjoy the pleasures of this world and this life for a season? Have you been with a believing heart, fearful and afraid and downcast? And even those words of your thoughts of your mind would not come, but your sigh has risen to the Heavenly Father, that, "Lord, save me." You remember Peter when he walked on the sea, when the disciples were in the boat and a storm came up and the waves and so on. And they looked upon the sea and there was a figure walking on the water towards them. And Peter said that, Jesus, if it is you, let me come walking to you. And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk towards Jesus with great faith. And when he saw that the wind and the waves were boisterous, or when he saw that the winds blew and the wave would soon engulf him, he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord, save me." To me, it's been a picture of my life when I am in the deepest thoughts of my own mind, when I have been doubt-filled and fearful. And where can I find strength? "Lord, save me." And Jesus lovingly reached out towards Peter as he reaches out to you and to me and takes us by the hand and takes us safely into the boat. I thought the picture of the boat is the congregation of God. Dear child of God, do you feel safe here in the congregation, in the fellowship of the believers? It was with great joy that I was able to arrive here this morning, despite my own doubts and temptation, that I could come to see you here, and that I could bring greetings from my home congregation and one who had grown up here in your midst, that today we are yet endeavoring in the same faith. the Heavenly Father, through His goodness and through the merit works of His Son, reaches out to the weakest and the poorest and takes us by the hand and places us in a place of shelter and safety. And here we are surrounded by a great throng of witnesses. And the writer to the Hebrews says, let us set aside every weight that burdens us. And that's what we are able to find with the escorts that God gives. And Jesus spoke of this man, and Luther writes that when the prayer of the heart of this man was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is the heart of a child of God, one who has received and believed the gospel that is preached from God's congregation. And here, with downcast eyes, he had such a prayer, God, be merciful unto me. And this is what Jesus is teaching when he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Those who find honor and glory in this life, those who find righteousness in their own works and their own great faith that they have, and they find some comfort in the duties that they serve in their communities and in this life, that there is no saving grace for one who believes in such a way. God awakens in the heart of those who will believe the knowledge of their sinfulness. Let us remember for a moment the life of Saul of Tarsus. He walked a godly life. He thought that those understandings of this life and the knowledge of scriptures, he thought that he was a pious man or a holy man. And what did he do in unbelief? He persecuted the children of God. He walked in darkness. He was blind to that which he was doing. He thought that which he was doing was good in the eyes of God. And he was struck blind on the way to Damascus. And Jesus called out to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Did Saul receive his sight when God awakened in his heart the knowledge of his unbelief? We remember how Saul needed to travel to Damascus, and there a believing man, poor and faulty and tempted, came to him and preached to him of God's goodness for sin-fallen man. And when Saul was able to hear that preached word, and he was able to believe that his sins were truly forgiven in the atonement blood of Jesus, the scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see. Later in his life, Paul was able to see of how he was a sinful man. And he says that he was the least of the apostles because he persecuted the believers. He saw in his former life that evil that he had done. Last evening, one of the grandpas that was there present with us in that discussion, maybe the oldest man there that was present, shared with us a portion of God's Word, which he had read this week, that moved him and touched his heart. Perhaps those words will also touch your heart. They are familiar words, as they touched my heart last evening, and they continue to touch my heart today. It is found in the 25th Psalm, in the 7th verse. This grandpa wished to share God's word with us when he spoke these words or reminded us of these words. And he asked the brother to read them. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. This is what the Heavenly Father also taught Saul when he left that former life and when he walked as God's called chosen person. And the fruits of that faith caused Saul, who was then called Paul, to serve God's children. And he considered himself to be the least of the apostles, and yet he served. And that grandpa last night wished to share that prayer that can be in the heart of each one of us. Remember, O God, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Dear child of God here this morning, you who do not see any goodness in your own self, who hear the condemnation by the enemy of souls when he reminds you of your life and how you have not served the others as you would wish, or of the evil that you have done even though you have desired not to do that evil. Each one of you personally has permission. Uplift your heart and believe. All of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And in believing this way, the fruits of the Spirit are evident in your life. You do not see the fruits that God gives you, but the believers see those fruits. And the believers partake of those fruits that God has given you. The greatest of those fruits of faith is love. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another." How does a child of God love the other? When we see that the other is downcast, when we see that the other one is in a time of sorrow, when we see that the other is in a time of trial, when we see the other one is in a time of need, we desire to go and serve them. Not to ask, are they worthy? Have they done things to deserve that which they suffer today? But we love them. We go and serve them without thinking of our own cares and our own needs. When we see that a brother or sister or a son or a daughter is burdened by sin, sometimes we can see this because they do not long to be with God's children. Other times we see this because their behavior becomes reckless in this life. They become careless. They begin to travel in the ways of unbelief. And they begin to go and frequent the ways of the world. They begin to listen to ungodly music, and we see that. Or they begin to go to the theaters. Or their language becomes coarse. Then we go to visit them. We reach out to them. This is the way the Heavenly Father has reached out to you and to me again and again. The loving hand of His Son comes to us through the other children of God. When unbelievers come into the contact of God's children, they see that there is a peace that we have. Do you see you and that you are different than others? Or do you simply accept that as a truth because the children of darkness say that you are different? We do not see in ourselves any goodness, but we are like this one in our text, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And again, as God's children, we can come to the throne of grace to hear, all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And we believe, and then we desire to travel. With that prayer of faith, dear Heavenly Father, preserve me as your child. Keep me in living faith, that I would not follow my own way, but I would follow the teaching of your Son and the Spirit that dwells in your congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close in prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for one another. We thank you that even the loneliest would have at least one believing friend that they could speak to of the way and the journey. And we ask the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.